Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Well, welcome, everybody. We are here with the Forward with Purpose podcast, and we have Jill Marquis and Lavette Vassar together from CareNet to talk about church engagement and all things church engagement, actually. But I'd like to veer for a minute, if you don't mind, to I want to talk about this Forgiveness Set Free training that you're doing that you've put together that I just finished. And I just want more people to hear about it. I know you've had a lot of people come through, but I just want to kind of let you guys have the floor, talk about your heart behind it, you know, what's going on, how the fruit it's bearing, that kind of thing.
Oh my gosh, yes. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about it. So just for a little background, Forgiven and Set Free is CareNet's flagship abortion recovery study that was originally published in 1986. And when I came into our organization about 3 years ago, my first task was to revise and update it. And so I had the opportunity to do that and then put together a leader guide. And Mindy, you were instrumental in that and cannot thank you enough, you and Victoria Robinson. So once we had those two pieces in place, and then also developed a men's curriculum, the next step was how do we multiply the training? You know, I can only be in one place at one time and train so many people in a given year. And so CareNet has a whole university to help equip our pregnancy centers. And abortion recovery falls under our church engagement side of our ministry. And so in our CareNet University, the thought was, let's develop this online leader training that not only is, of course, available to our pregnancy centers, but we also want this available to churches and to standalone ministries like yours, Mindy. We want to get this into the hands of as many people as possible. And so to really take advantage of the technology and make it available to a wider audience. And we just finished our third cohort this week, which is such a blessing. And Lavette, what do we have? Do we now have 226 trained leaders that have come through online training?
226 trained leaders, which is amazing.
Yes. And that's women only? Or is that women and
men?
Is that women
only? Women and men.
Women and men. Okay. That's awesome.
It's primarily women because we're really, you know, getting the word out about the men's study and the training. And that's, you know, there's a whole educational piece that goes along with talking about men and abortion that we are really working on. But yeah, we're so excited about how God is multiplying the efforts. And when Lavette came on staff in November of last year, God didn't just start multiplying the effort. He started doing an exponential increase in the number of people that were able to really help get started in this ministry.
Wow. I want to just read this verse really quickly. Because this is a verse that God used to call me in, and it's very familiar to you, the majority of it. It's Jeremiah 29:11-14. So the first part you're very familiar with, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And then this verse, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. And that verse, when God spoke that to me, I knew, okay, so he was getting ready to bring, for 50 years, millions have been sitting in shame, right? And a very small percentage have received healing. And God was telling me that he heard the collective cry and he was going to bring them out. And I knew he wanted me to be ready, but I knew with the millions, like certainly I can't reach them all. I mean, I'm only going to reach a, very tiny, tiny fraction with what I'm able to do. And just to know that, I get to see this happening. He's raising an army. I knew the army needed to be raised up, right? And I knew that wasn't really my job, but to see this happening and as you guys doing this, I don't know. It just is one of those things that just thoroughly excites me. We get to watch his plan and his will unfold. So I am so excited. So tell us a little bit more about what, because we're talking to people that maybe don't know that there's this training that exists yet. So just tell us a little bit more about, what they're doing, how the training works.
Okay, so the way that we have the training set up, it's all online. It's a 6-week training, and you walk through Forgiven and Set Free or Reclaiming Fatherhood. And what we're doing is exposing people not just to here's how to do this Bible study, here's how to run this Bible study, but we wanted the training to also help people understand the depth and the breadth of the issue of abortion itself and its impact on us mentally, physically, emotionally, as well as how our abortion decision impacts those around us. So when somebody goes to the comes to the training, comes online to the training, what they're going to see is not just the information about Forgiven and Set Free. They're going to see articles and research and opinion pieces, again, because we want them to have a really good understanding of just how wide this issue is and how deeply it affects us. Livette, what would you add to that?
I would love to add to that they are seeing real life testimonies of the effect of abortion in this training. And also in this training, like you was just saying, Mindy, the army, we are building out the community, building out God's foot soldiers, ready to hit the battlefield. So that's what I really love is the community that's being built as the women communicate back and forth and share emails and give advice to each other. It's becoming their own support team.
Yeah, I've had a
Just
couple
to
people reach
piggyback.
out. Sorry, Jill.
No, I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
I was going to say to piggyback on that, I know Livette and I as the moderators of the course, and even as the developers of the course, there is so much that we glean from the learners. The wisdom bombs that get dropped in the comments are just amazing.
Yeah, and if, so from a participant perspective, that I felt like the course was very well done, easy to follow, and it walked me through. I didn't have to figure out what to do next. Everything was, do this and do this next. And there were a couple of little quizzes that I was like, oh, I don't want to do a quiz, but it was good, and it wasn't like you were trying to trick us. You were just, have you read that material? Because this is important to understand and know. And those are the articles that we were talking that you were mentioning. And then, but from a perspective of the participant, there was many times when you allowed us within the online platform to communicate through questions that you would ask us. And they were very good questions, I think, very thoughtful questions. And we can read each other's comments and comment on each other's, comments if we so chose. And I thought that was really good. I remember when you were when we were doing the leader's guide and you were talking about the concept of this, I remember thinking it just sounded big. It sounded too big, but God obviously gave you a great big brain to hold that vision, and it's been pulled off really well and executed very well. I really enjoyed it. And I want to know who's coming. Is it new women, like new to abortion recovery, or is it seasoned abortion recovery leaders, or somewhere in between?
The answer to the question is yes.
Okay. Okay.
But before we answer that, I just want to finish talking about that, like the actual course structure. So
Okay.
it's 6 weeks. It's moderated, which means, like so far, Lavette and I have been the moderators. So we are going in and responding to people's questions. There are three cohort meetings during the 6 weeks, first week, third week, sixth week. But I want people to know that you're working at your own pace each week, with a new module opening up each week, because that was one question that we get all the time is, how often are the meetings and when are the meetings scheduled? Because I don't know if my schedule will allow it. And so we always want people to know you're working at your own pace. You really need to stay on top of it, but you also have, at the end of the course, you have an additional 4 weeks of access to the material, because we want people to really understand it and get through it. But we want you to stay on pace with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and just to touch on that really quickly, because that was one thing that I, when I got into it, I wasn't really sure how that was going to work. And I know me, and I was really kind of glad the way that you guys have this set up. So it was that, you have a course module open up and it tells you the expiration date of that course module. That's what I kind of liked about it, because it made me work it into that week instead of pushing it into the next week. And now I have double to do. And, all of a sudden I have more, and it wasn't overly time consuming, but it was good information, really good information. But it was good that it kept us accountable by the expiration dates, if that makes sense. I mean, I did see that, right? Like I did read that,
Yes,
right?
you did. You did, but the
Okay.
material doesn't expire. You can always go back. You just
Okay.
can't work ahead. We're not going to let you work ahead in
Oh,
the
I got it.
study.
Okay.
But you could always go back. Lavette, why don't you answer the question about new leaders, seasoned leaders, who's coming to the course?
It's a great mixture of both. Seasoned leaders who have been used to using the old forgiven and set free, and now they're stepping into the new, adapting. And then people who are just feeling like they are called to this ministry and they want to learn more. And those are the people that I seem to be so eager about, is the desire to want to know more. We have never arrived on this side of heaven, so let's not pretend like we know everything. So this is a great opportunity to step in, especially if you're seasoned, to step into it with a new set of eyes, ready to embrace something new. And it's a beautiful thing to watch it happen.
Yeah.
We
Say
How?
over and over during the training to be Holy Spirit led, and to
Mm-hmm.
understand that the facilitator's guide is full of object lessons that we think are, you know this, Mindy, because you were such a vital part of putting those object lessons together. But the whole idea of here's another way to help drive the point home, and don't feel like you have to use this. If the Holy Spirit is leading you, telling you that maybe this object lesson isn't going to sit well with your group for whatever reason, it's okay to not use them. But we want people to have all of these different tools in their toolbox to help people grasp God's word, His love for us, and the redemption of our sin.
Yeah.
So
So good. How many leaders are you seeing coming forward that do not have abortion in their past, but God is calling them into this space?
She pointed to me for that one. Quite a few. And it always breaks my heart because they feel like they're ill-equipped. Like, who am I to walk with this woman? And I always say, who are you not? By no mistake are you standing in this space. You represent the church. You represent the body of Christ.
100%.
I feel like in this cohort, we probably had close to a third of the women. And
Really?
I feel like that may not be true, because we didn't go through and calculate that. But it just felt like there were more women who do not have an abortion in this past cohort.
That's exciting. That's super
It
exciting. You know what?
is.
I've said this several times on this podcast in different conversations that we've had, but we are not qualified to lead these kinds of ministries because of our sin. We're qualified because Jesus Christ calls us. And that's the only qualification that we need, is the only reason why we should be here. You know, not
Amen.
because we've sinned a certain way. You know, yeah, we have a little bit more understanding, but if somebody understands that shame and forgiveness, and they understand their need is as deep as anybody else's. You know, my pastor, once a month, they have a next class meeting where you can go and learn more about the church. And he's always sharing his testimony. And the way he shares, the way he says about how he shares his testimony at during church when he's announcing these classes, I initially thought, man, this guy has a story, right? Okay. So follow me on this. When I got to the next class, I was like, that's your story? But for him, it was shameful and it was downright sin. And he knew it and it broke him and it devastated him. And so when he came to that point of, you know, coming face to face with his sin and with Jesus and making that choice for the Lord, he knew, you know, it's not about the acts of our sin that make our story. It's about the work of Jesus on the cross that make our story glorious, because we're all sinners.
Amen.
All of us are sinners. So I'm
Well,
excited. Okay, so tell us, how many more training dates do you have? And are there any open this year, or are you already taking registration for next year? Is there a cost? And how many times a year? I think you may have said that and I might have forgotten.
okay, the answer is yes to all of those
Okay.
questions.
That's all you
So
love.
we have one more cohort this year that starts on October 1st. And you know, we have very much realized when we started this in January, we really didn't know what to expect in terms of enrollment. And so in talking with the people that run our CareNet University, I was asking, okay, how many people should we cap enrollment? What should that look like? And I was told by several people, yes, we typically cap enrollment at 30 for a class, because, you know, as a moderator, you really want to be able to get in there and interact with the people who are learning. Well, we didn't know what to expect. And so we were like, all right, we're not going to cap the January enrollment. We're just going to see what God does with this. Let me just tell you right now, if you don't think our Lord and Savior has a sense of humor, he does. We
Amen.
had 83, was it 83 in the
83.
first cohort?
Yes,
Great. So Lavette and I were drinking from a fire hose, and it was glorious and wonderful. Our April cohort was just a little over 30. And then this cohort, we were like, okay, we're going to start capping the cohort. We're going to do it at, we're going to set it at 40. And then there were a couple of things that happened internally within CareNet in terms of the timing of some information that was going out to all of our 1200 affiliates. All that to say, the July cohort for Forgiven and Set Free has 63. Because we didn't want to limit it, like I said, because of some of the timing of some emails that went out. So the October cohort will be capped at 40 spots. That registration is going to open up first week of September. And then going into 2025, Lavette, talk about our dates for 2025.
So I do not have them in front of me, but we will start in January, April, and July, and October again. So I do not have the exact dates. I wish I had them in front of me, but Jill is being really nice because our first cohort, I had 83. She had over 100 because she also facilitates Forgiven and Set Free and Reclaiming Fatherhood. So in Reclaiming Fatherhood, they had 20 plus. So she was really drinking from the fire hose.
Wow. And that was my next
The
question. So I'm glad you said that, Levette. Tell us about the men coming forward and how many and what that's looking like, the
Well,
response.
with the men's group, it's definitely much smaller. One of the big initiatives that CareNet has really been putting forward in the last year or so is our fatherhood initiative, really working with the pregnancy centers about getting fatherhood programs established because we believe so strongly, of course, in the biblical definition of marriage, that we want these family units, we want to build up these fathers as we are also ministering to these moms. So that being said, we are really working in our church engagement, in our center services, in our fatherhood programs to really let people know that this is out there. But because we as a society have spent 50 years telling men to sit down and shut up, that it's my body, my choice, guys are very, very hesitant. Again, because we beat them about the head and shoulders and told them this wasn't their issue. So we're having to re-educate them. That being said, we've had, I want to say around 40 men so far
I
go
think that's
through.
fantastic.
Yeah, we're thrilled. And kind of the nice thing I feel like about those smaller men's cohorts is that ability to spend a little bit more time. Talking with the men, helping them to understand what they're going to be, what they're up against. Many of them have abortion in their past, but many of them do not. So again, it's that same idea of, I feel like God is calling me into this, and I don't know that I'm equipped. And we're like, that's okay. We're gonna equip you as much as we can with these tools, and God is going to do all of it.
That is so exciting. I mean, really, that is really exciting. And I love that the men are being raised up. And so I imagine those cohorts will be fuller, more filled to capacity as we go, as you go. Well, I want to switch over to church engagement. This is what we originally were going to talk about. So I just want to talk a little bit about what church engagement is for those of us who may not know, as in terms of what CareNet's doing. And just kind of give us an introduction there.
So everything that CareNet does is filtered through the lens of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Everything. How we equip and serve our pregnancy centers, again, so gospel focused. So in the church engagement side of this, we recognize that, basically the church abdicated its responsibility in this arena when abortion became legal and when pregnancy centers started stepping into that void, because abortion became legal in 1973 and the church didn't really know what to do with that. So the pregnancy center movement came out of that. And again, because the church was trying to play catch up, pregnancy centers started stepping into abortion recovery, recognizing that, oh my gosh, the women that are making this choice are coming out of this so incredibly broken. So that's a little bit of the backside of that. Well, within CareNet has had that the mindset that not only must we equip our pregnancy centers, that's why we were established, but we also have got to educate the church. We have got to bring them along in this. So that, the pregnancy center's job is to serve the next abortion determined woman, young man, couple that walks in their door. And once they have those individuals at a place of relative stability, they need to be able to hand them off to the local church for discipleship, because the pregnancy center is not equipped to continue a long-term relationship with this couple or with this woman. And that's what the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to, come alongside the least and the lost, care for the widow and the orphan, build strong families. So, in order for the pregnancy center to serve the next abortion determined woman, they've got to be able to hand her off. And so, our church engagement team is really working to partner with the pregnancy centers and say, okay, Which churches do you have really great relationships with? How might we train up those churches so they're better equipped to serve you? And if you've got, churches that you're trying to develop relationships with, again, we want to come alongside and train that church. And we're moving
Can I
not
break
away
in?
from,
Oh, can I break in? I have
but
some question. I'm thinking as you're talking about like the pregnancy centers, and I'm thinking about the standalone abortion recovery as well, and what the churches we want to have relationship with. Do we practically, does that mean we would come to CareNet and say, hey, can you reach out to our church or help, how to, or do we come to you and say, help us reach out to our church, or do we have extra workload to do? How does that relationship look?
that's such a good question. So one of the tools that the church engagement team has is a curriculum called Making Life Disciples.
Okay.
And Making Life Disciples is for the church. This is how to be pro-life on the ground. We kind of call it Pro-Life 101 or Pro-Life Boot Camp. And I always want people to know that when we use the term pro-life, sometimes people's mind will go to politics. And I'm like, just take that out of your head. Politics has nothing to do with this.
Right.
What does it look like to walk alongside a young woman, a young man, a young family who maybe has made the decision for life, but all of the pressures that were making them consider abortion are still there? He still doesn't have a job. She still doesn't have childcare for her other children. They're hardly making ends meet. So, how does the church practically walk alongside them? And that's what Making Life Disciples teaches. It also teaches the church how to have that hard conversation with somebody that may be considering abortion. Right now, when a woman finds out she's pregnant, she's hightailing it to Planned Parenthood
Yeah, she's not going to
because
church.
she's not even considering the church as an option. And we have to change that. So that's the other part of what we want to do is make the church the place of refuge that it should be.
Okay,
What do you
okay.
want to add to that?
Yeah. Who's doing
But
the making
you
life?
are just preaching to me. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. You just to me. I'm like, yes and amen. I think like what I love about church engagement team is we are taking it back to how it was in the book of Acts and teaching us how to be one body. Whether you stand alone ministry, whether you are PRC, whatever the case may be, we are teaching how to go back to being one body, the body of Christ, and how to do it well.
I like
That's what I love.
I really like that. What who so that goes back to my question originally. Who is actually doing the Making Life Disciples class? Who presents that? Would that be me if it were my organization wanting to make relationship, or would that be somebody at CareNet saying, hey, we'll come partner alongside you and step into this and help you? I don't, how does that look?
My favorite answer is just yes, because it's both. Just I'll use my own home church as an example. So my husband and I recently relocated to a new town. We had a new church, and I went and spoke with the small group's pastor. Actually, I had a conversation with the pastor because he spoke. We had somebody come in and speak on abortion, and then I went to him and I said, "Oh, hey, by the way, I happen to work in this arena, and I would love to have a conversation with you about what does this look like for the church to do this." So when I met with our small group's pastor, I talked to him about abortion recovery, the desperate need for it. 63 million plus of us have chosen abortions, so the need is huge. As we were talking about it, in the conversation, because this is new for our church, I said to him, "What I really think we need to start with is making life disciples. I think we need to establish a life team, a life group, however we want to call it. I call it a life team. And these are going to be those people who are passionate about the life issue. And so let's start there and lay that groundwork. How do we come alongside our local pregnancy center? How do we come alongside our local maternity home? And work with these ministries that are already up and running, And so, what does it look like to partner with them? So, let's start there. And from that, my prayer is that abortion recovery leaders will be raised up as a result of that. And this allows me, like I said, to lay the groundwork first with the let's serve, those people who are facing crisis pregnancy. Let's start there. So in a case like yours, Mindy, where you have this incredible standalone ministry, we want you partnering with your local churches. And so if your local churches, are like, we don't know how to do this, we don't know how to get this started, you can easily say, there's a national organization called CareNet that's put together this curriculum called Making Life Disciples. And we have regional coordinators that we can connect you with.
Okay.
That, if somebody from that church says, yeah, I'd like more information, we'll connect you with that regional coordinator. The regional coordinator on our staff will reach out to that church person and say, here's what it is. Here's how we do this. Here's how we come alongside you. We're not just going to throw the curriculum
Yeah.
at you and say, hey, good luck.
Yeah,
That
have
doesn't
fun
serve
with that.
anybody.
Well, question for you. So as a standalone, I'm in a small town and I partner, I collaborate, if you will, with my local pregnancy center to do abortion recovery for them. But the churches don't quite understand that relationship and they think I'm in competition with them. And so I've just kind of backed off because I'm my own person for a little while here and we're building up people in the area. But how could or how or is CareNet in making life disciples prepared to help bridge that understanding and that gap so that they understand. Say that again. Oh, are you pointing to Levette?
I was pointing to Levette. You answer
Okay.
that one. Okay.
Jill and I, it's so funny because we just had a conversation about this. And so I feel like Jill would be better to answer it because I said, what if I feel like it becomes territorial, right? Like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You taking people from us. And Jill did so well. She leaned in, and anytime Jill leans in, I know she's about to say something with much wisdom. And she was like, if we want our calendars to get filled up, we need to expand. You cannot reach every single person. And this is how we do it well. This is how we do it well. And I think it has just become, we've lost part of the battleground by being territorial.
Yes, I agree.
When you look at the other side, they are working together. So you
So,
shouldn't even,
Mindy, in
yeah, I'm
go
sorry,
ahead,
go ahead.
Levette.
I'll start
What
preaching. Yeah, go
I
ahead.
was just going to say, Mindy, in your case, you're in a small town. You have a pregnancy center that you work with, work alongside, and you have these churches. So, think about it. If the pregnancy center has one or two, has a couple people that are doing abortion recovery, you have this vibrant abortion recovery ministry. And then if the church picks this up and says, we're going to add this to our community care, when we have somebody that walks through the door that says, I had an abortion and my life is garbage and I need help, the three entities working together, like if you're in the middle of a group, then you can say, you know what? First Baptist Church down the road, they have a group that is starting in 2 weeks. Let's have a conversation with them. Or Pregnancy Resource Center has a group, you know what, that is kicking off next week. So that whole idea of our calendars being full, I mean, you would be able to coordinate with each other to say, okay, our classes are going to run, our groups are going to run on these dates. How can we dovetail? And again, cover the calendar. And then I also think about, you've got people geographically. Hey, I'm not able to drive the 30 minutes to the group that's going to be at the church, or I don't have a car, but I do have a smartphone or I do have a home computer. So that's where the virtual groups come in. But it's the whole breaking down of those silos. Again, 63 million plus abortions since 1973. The pie is huge.
Humongous,
We
yes.
serve a God of abundance and extravagance. And quite frankly, I'd like to be out of a job.
Right.
Amen.
The more people,
Yes. So
And
making like disciples helps to kind of helps the church to understand the relationship in the community is what I'm hearing, and how to reach the community at the same time. So it's not bringing division, obviously, and I never would have thought that, but it's actually not just helping the church understand, it's also bringing unity to what we're doing. Is that what I'm
amen.
hearing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So as the pregnancy center, okay, I've been working with this woman now for a month. She came in the door abortion determined. She has now made the decision for life. Well, you know what? There's another abortion determined woman at the door. So I need to have high confidence that when I call First Baptist Church or, you know, whatever, when I call that church and say, I've got a woman who lives fairly close to you guys, and I would like to get her connected with your church. I want to know that there is somebody in that church that is going to say, yes, I will go and pick her up. Let's set up a time for coffee so we can meet. We will make arrangements to get her to our church if need be. All of these things to make it easy for that woman who is coming from a really scared, just crazy filled life, to know that there are people that are going to stand beside her. And like I said, me as the pregnancy center, I need to know that when I hand her off to you, that you're going to take care of her. And so if you're trained.
I was just thinking of when it's done well, and like you were saying, Jill, like here locally, my church, Encounter City Church, is now doing forgiven and set free, sexual healing, and making life disciple. And we have connected with the pregnancy center, like, okay, when is your class? So we can have our class. That way, there's no way they can't go to any healing classes. And then we had a young lady who went through it, came to the church. She is now, her and her husband has been baptized. She is part of a life group, and she will be helping teach Forgiven and Set Free. That's what it looked like when it's done well,
That's
because
beautiful.
we want to make disciples.
Yeah, we do. So, what barriers are you finding with the churches? What are you seeing or hearing?
Part of it has to do, this is with the whole issue of abortion, that you have to really at times hammer home to them that this is not a political issue. And I need you to stop talking about it like it is. This is a moral issue. So, I mean, I can get fairly direct and salty with some folks about that. But once you take that down, and people are willing to listen and to really understand the magnitude of the problem. And when we speak about it in terms of a discipleship issue, when you just think about the number of people sitting in our churches that have an abortion in their past, on the low end, it's 25% of women and men have an abortion in their past. And if we're not talking about this issue, if we're not helping them heal, then their growth as a Christ follower is stunted. And, they might come off the bench some, but they won't fully engage because they're wounded.
Well, they can't
And
talk about what
so,
Jesus has done for them either, so they cannot effectively witness about the power of Jesus Christ in their own life to others, right?
yes and amen. Yeah.
Yes. And I think another thing, barrier with the churches too, is the fear of bringing up abortion, of like, oh, it's a tough subject. People might pull away, people might walk away, because, like Jill said, they see it as a political issue. And so fear does not come from God.
No, it does not.
That's one reason why within our church engagement team, our executive director, Andrew Woods, he does such a great job of putting together information. We have a whole Sanctity of Human Life toolkit for churches that really break down the issue. Here's all the scripture, again, just to help equip them to talk about the issue, just as a biblical issue. Again, we're not even going to talk politics. Because quite frankly, when a woman walks into a pregnancy center for help, she's not going to ask you who you voted for. She doesn't care.
No. Now the Sanctity of Human Life toolkit is for January. Do you have a toolkit for abortion awareness in April?
We do. We absolutely do. We put together our incredible creative arts team put together some really great graphics for people to use where you can go in, and customize them. There are ones for social media, and again, easily customizable by the user. And we were putting these together like for the church to use. So here's a whole slew of social media posts, that you can customize. Here are different slides that you can use during your services. Here's the verbiage we put together. A bulletin, a church bulletin for those churches who still love an old school paper bulletin. So all of these things are available for folks. And as part of that, with our studies, we have trailers for the Forgiven and Set Free study and for Reclaiming Fatherhood that churches can show that can be used on social media to promote. We want to get the word out. We want to make it easy for people to say yes. We want to make it easy for the church to say yes. So the more tools we can put into the church's hand, when you're not going into the church and saying, I need you to do this, here's the issue and I need you to do this. You go into the church and say, here's the issue. Here's what we have for you. We want to make it really easy for you to say yes.
Love it. Love it. Lavette, we're winding down our time together. And this may be a really deep, much deeper or much more time. For I don't know what I'm trying to say. I've totally lost my words. What I'm about to ask you might require more time to say. That's what I'm trying to get at. But I would like you to speak into, if you would, help us to understand what the how abortion recovery is being impacted, or how the Black church is being impacted by abortion recovery, and how we can partner with them, how we can come alongside them.
Well, I will say that at the CareNet conference, we're doing a whole breakout session of transforming the Black church and making them an effective ally. Because so many women have come to me and said that work at a pregnancy center, it's hard to get the Black church involved. It is hard to get Black volunteers. And so for me, one of the things, Corey Tabor and Alicia Jones, all of us are working on is giving tools of how can you connect with the Black church? And part of it is going into the community, introducing yourself, showing up. If you know one of the churches, one of the local Black churches in your area is having a women's conference, go to it. Show up. I think we have gotten so comfortable with being in our circle
It's true.
that we forget how to step out of those boundaries. And we adjust, we definitely address the, well, it's going to be uncomfortable if I walk into an all Black barbershop and here I am, long blonde hair and blue eyes. What do I say? You say hello and come with hands full. I always tell the story of remembering my grandson running around at the park with this little girl, and he stopped and he said, "Wait a minute, I didn't get your name. What is your name?" And she introduced herself, said, "My name is, I don't remember, such and such." And he said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And she said, "I'm doing well." And I said, "Okay, let's go play." And I just looked at that moment and
Perfect.
said, "We have overcomplicated things."
I think so.
So let's just walk into the community.
Perfectly.
Let's find out what this church vision and mission statement is. Let's figure out how we can work together. Open up the conversation. Let's get the big elephant out of the room and make it not about politics.
I
Let's not
love
make it politics.
Livette. You had said to me, I'm like, okay, Livette, so here I am, this middle class white woman, If I'm walking into an event at a church that's primarily Black, you know, here's this event, you said to me, "Oh yeah, Jill, you're going to get noticed, and you, the people who are running the event, are going to come and introduce themselves to you." And
Yes.
that is when you get that opportunity to say, "Hey, I'm Jill Marquis. I work with, you know, such and such pregnancy center, or, you know, I work in abortion recovery, and I just would love to get to know you guys."
And it's going to require Mindy a boldness of walking out on faith and just introducing yourself and showing up. And then, and also, I love to say, understand what's going on in your community. You know, if a young lady stay, you might think it's close because you have a car. You have to start thinking she may not have a car. So how will she get to the appointment? How can you meet her where she's at? She might not have a computer to do virtual. How can we meet her where she's at? So I could, yeah, that would be a whole nother meeting. Look, so
Yeah, well, we'll definitely have to do that with Linda, because I know Linda wants to have that conversation as well. So we'll plan that one for sure. Maybe we'll get Sylvia and you on together, Sylvia Blakely, and have that conversation.
yes.
Well, ladies, I thank you for your time. We went longer than we normally do, and that's okay. I think it was a really good conversation. Hopefully it was fruitful for everyone who is listening, and we will continue this conversation, and you have a great day.